31.
I still have all the old family photos from when I was a child. They're in a box somewhere. This isn't something I ever expected to see.
Charles saw them as they carefully stepped through the field of blood and body parts, surprised that even the younger folks playing the game could look that green in the face at such imagery.
I thought they would have been more used to it than I am, out adventuring and killing monsters.
The orc woman T, the deer, the man dressed as a samurai, and a very tall and very skinny lizard man winded their way slowly to the front of his house. The samurai appeared to be wearing chain manacles, while the lizard man was pushing a wheelbarrow carrying a rock. In the background, the banshee was pulling fluorescent blue outlines from the bodies of the fallen and drinking them.
"Hey, old man! Redecorating, huh?"
the orc woman who led the group cheerfully called to Charles as she waved.
"I didn't realize he was so bloodthirsty,"
the deer mumbled to herself as she followed.
"What do you see? I can't see anything,"
the rock cried from inside the wheelbarrow.
"So someone was reincarnated as a rock? Is that what I'm seeing right now?"
Charles was having a hard time wrapping his head around that.
"I've seen a lot of strange things since I started playing this game, but I think this has got to be the strangest."
Charles had unknowingly stopped rocking his chair in confusion.
Reincarnated rock. Reborn as a stone.
It triggered a memory in Charles, and with the good mood he was in, he couldn't help himself. He started tapping his foot to the beat and singing the song in his head. He may have hummed it, too.
"Papa was a rolling stone."
A loud cough took him out of the moment. Charles returned his attention to the group. As the orc was about to speak, the samurai leaped forward and grabbed Charles's foot.
"Charles-san, thank the heavens! You must help me! These—"
His words morphed into pained grunts as the orc began slapping and kicking him repeatedly.
"Oh, hell no! You got us all into this mess! No way do you get out of it by yourself!"
The deer approached while they were squabbling and tilted its head in greeting.
"Mr. Charles, I know you don't know me yet, but my name is Tina. We are all victims of his alchemy experiments in reincarnation 10 years from now. He says he has all the ingredients he needs to recreate the reincarnation powder but one, and he gets that one from you a few years from now."
Her sweet baby's voice hung in the air like the sound of bells. Now, Charles was in a good mood still, so he smiled at Tina Deer. But being in a good mood didn't mean he knew anything about what they wanted, so he just nodded his head.
"Good day, Mr. Charles. I am Andrew, and I will be your gardener at your next house when you move, or I would have been, if not for this unpleasantness."
The tall lizard man's British accent was at odds with his sharp teeth. Charles still didn't know what to say. He wanted to ask questions about this next house and why he would need it when he had such a fine cabin behind him, but decided to just nod along.
"Hello, master,"
the voice popped out from the rock. This one, Charles immediately recognized as Titha.
"So that's where she went. Titha?"
he asked.
"I knew he would remember me," she cried with glee.
Many different questions went through Charles's mind at that moment.
"Huh. Now I can finally ask her. Fool girl, why did you bury that grave around back so close to the house? What if I get a window?"
"Well, you see, master, it's,
Rock Titha began. She never finished as a loud, happy cry echoed out from the banshee in the middle of the yard.
"Yes! Finally!"
They all turned to watch as she began glowing, except for Rock Titha. When the glow faded, the transparent human had skeletal wings that extended from her shoulder blades and a long scythe in her hands. The few direwolves still feeding whimpered and ran away. Her wings pumped as she floated towards them.
"Thank you for your gift. With these souls I have evolved, and no longer need be chained to that accursed dungeon."
Charles couldn't remember what he had done for her, but it seemed rude to interrupt.
"I was trapped for so many years as both dungeon monster and dungeon master with no way forward and no hope of freedom.
I offer the dungeon to you as my thanks," the woman said, as she hovered above the reincarnated misfits. A glowing gem floated down from her hand to land on Charles's lap before it flashed and disappeared. The sudden flash startled him right into a standing position. He had to grab the arm of the chair to steady himself.
"Congratulations! You are now the proud owner of a level 7 dungeon. Would you like to change your class to Dungeon Master? Yes, no."
Charles looked at the screen a moment before willing it to minimize.
"And now I'll have to find someone to do this for me, too. This game just loves hoisting responsibilities on retired folks. Doesn't it know I've worked enough? That's why I'm retired. What am I supposed to do with a dungeon? Is this some kind of BDSM thing? I'm too old for all that."
Charles's good mood was rapidly evaporating, shaking away with shudders at the thought of having to manage a sex dungeon at his age. The former banshee faded from sight, vanishing as if she knew Charles was about to thwack her a time or two. With surprising intelligence, the few people in front of Charles made some awkward noises before letting him know they would be cleaning the front yard for a little while and would be back to talk later. Charles sat back down and angrily rocked in his chair.
"I have about had it. I wanted this cabin to get away from everyone but my family, and it seems like I'm being pestered by people every few minutes. They're worse than door-to-door salesmen."
While Charles was grumbling about the annoyances, he also knew he was going to keep playing. The chance to do something without the everyday aches and pains he'd grown used to was just too much. It was getting dark out, and the yard was nearly completely clean by the time Charles had fully calmed down. At one point, he'd realized that his anger wasn't so much at the game, but rather something else entirely.
"I was making a bigger deal out of it than I should."
When Charles was finally ready to talk again, there was no one around. While normally this would have pleased Charles to no end, he felt the need to do something to figure all this out. The blinking icons were piling up, taking nearly a third of his vision.
"Let's see, 5 or 6 across and 10 down. I could play Connect the Dots."
He considered picking one at random, but decided it would be easier to ask someone. First he tried Bert, but Bert didn't answer. Then he called Xolia, but there was no answer either. His friends list didn't have too many other names on it. So, after breathing on it and rubbing the gemstone for good luck, he used the Ring of Friendship. Within seconds, a portal flashed open, and a majestic flying feathered serpent with wings of gold flew out. Power and peacefulness seemed to radiate off of 2 tiny curled horns on its head.
"Behold, for I am the conqueror of realms and the savior of the meek."
Lightning began to crackle around him.
"I am Bill. You may raise your eyes to feast upon—"
Bill seemed to stumble when he realized his only audience was an old man sitting in a rocking chair by himself in the middle of the woods.
"What?"
The lightning and peaceful radiance light faded rather abruptly. It made the creeping darkness feel even darker.
"Well, go on,"
Charles said.
"This man clearly practiced his entrance for a reason. I don't want him to feel like it wasn't appreciated."
No, that's okay. You Mr. Charles?"
the creature known as Bill asked.
"Yep. I got some questions I hope you could answer."
The serpent seemed to deflate as it floated over to the porch and curled up on the stairs.
"Mr. Charles, how can I help?" "Well, I keep seeing a bunch of blinking lights," Charles answered.
The snake's head darted around quickly.
"Well, I don't see any will-o'-wisps. You're not charmed or enchanted or cursed. Can you tell me about these?" "Yeah. They're always blinking, and no matter what I do, they don't seem to go away,"
Charles explained. The snake nodded in a very sagely manner.
"Have you considered seeking medical treatment? Your pod does have a med sensor, right?"
"No, not those kind of lights. The kind you think about and it tells you stuff. Like level up stuff."
Oh,
Snake Bill said.
"I got it now. You want Eric. Hold on, I'll call him."
The flying snake man thing flew off and, shortly after, flew back to see a new portal open right where the first one had. A tough-looking man with enormous muscles and a third eye in the middle of his forehead casually stepped out. The two of them whispered quietly to each other for a moment, but Charles only caught the words, "You owe me," at the end of their conversation. Soon, the man began walking towards Charles and outstretched an enormous hand.
"Mr. Charles, pleased to meet you. My name's Eric," he greeted in a very professional manner.
Several hours later, Charles had a good grip on what most of the blinking lights meant. All his level-up, skill-level-up, combat logs, spellcast logs, and item lists had been cleared. Several other items had been merged for easier viewing. Eric was even nice enough to give him some kind of enchanted bag and helped him sort through all of his inventory. In the end, Charles was able to pull up a display that even he could understand. Calm demeanor, seemingly endless patience, and a professional attitude led to the only reasonable conclusion Charles could make about Eric. He must have worked in tech support.
Charles. Race, human. Class, Aeromancer, Dungeon Master. Level, 41. Stats, condensed. Skills, condensed. Abilities, condensed.
It looked perfectly simple now. Charles only had to consider what to do with the items in his inventory next.